It is in that powerful name, in the powerful name of Jesus, that we stand confident, knowing that Jesus is alive, and because he is alive, we too will live. May it be so in our hearts, our lives, now and forever. Amen. Our theme for tonight, you can see, is He has risen just as He told you. A reading, as Pastor shared it with us, from Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn to that text from Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. Go ahead and use your pew Bibles. I'll direct your attention to something in just a moment, and you'll want to find it here. If you're a visitor with us tonight and do not have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's precious word in all the days to come. And my encouragement for all of you, if it's been a while since you've done it, to read the Gospel of Mark from beginning to end. It's a short book, and I encourage you over the course of the next days of this week to read through the Gospel of Mark. And if you make it through once and it's still more week left, read it again and maybe again to see what God reveals to us in his precious word. You know that the Easter acclamation, which has been used by the church through the centuries, and which we certainly are familiar with here, is one that's a great way for us to celebrate what Easter is. You know how to do this. Do it with me. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But just how do you know that? How do you know that he's risen? Have you ever seen Jesus? Have you ever, like Thomas was encouraged to do, taken your finger and put it into the place where the nails were? Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken your hand and put it into his side, as Thomas was encouraged to do? No, none of us have seen him. None of us have felt or touched him. So how is it that you can declare he is risen? He is risen indeed. Alleluia. How do you know? Well, you know because of the witnesses he's given. In the text that Pastor read for us tonight from Mark 16, there was a young man. There was an angel, I believe, in the tomb. The women had come very early in the morning, and they'd brought with them spices and other things with which they were going to anoint Jesus' body, they thought, for the very last time. They had loved their Savior. They had loved Jesus as a friend and teacher, and they were saddened that he was dead, and they thought this was the last thing that they'd be able to do for him now that he had died. But as they came to the tomb, as the women were wondering and worrying that morning, oh, that's right, there's this very large stone. How are we going to take care of that? They looked, and the tomb was open. The stone had been rolled away, and as they stepped into the tomb, they were amazed to see this young man, an angel, there. And the angel told them, you're looking for Jesus. Jesus from Nazareth. But he's risen. He's not here. He went to Galilee, and when you go there, you will see him just as he told you. The witness of that man, that angel, was to remember what Jesus said and to trust and believe it. We know that Jesus is raised from the dead because of the witness of Scripture. These scrolls from the Old Testament and the scrolls of the New Testament, the Old Testament pointing to the coming of the Savior, even from the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, reminds us, tells us, promises that God would send a Savior. And all throughout the Old Testament, they help us look forward to something which was to come. That's Jesus. And the New Testament, the books of it and the scrolls of that time pointed us back to something. And that same something is Jesus. He who lived and died and rose again, he is indeed risen. And that's the witness we trust. There were others on that Easter day, like the disciples on the way to the little town of Emmaus. They saw him raised again from the dead. That's how we know. That's the witness we have. There were eyewitnesses who saw and touched and listened to him. What the New Testament points out over and over again, not just the two on the way to Emmaus, but many of the disciples. And later that evening, that Easter evening, Jesus appeared to the disciples. And then again a week later. And then the New Testament reminds us he appeared many times and even to 500 at one time. Why can we declare he is risen? Because God has proclaimed it. God has left witness that that's exactly what has taken place. If you have your Bibles open, I wonder in the pew Bibles you have if it says the same thing my Bible says. Have you ever noticed, as you look at Matthew or Mark chapter 16, right in the middle, after verse 8, there are some words printed in the middle. The most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, verses 9 and following. Many scholars believe that the book of Mark ended in verse 8, and what you see later is a later addition by someone else. Not false, telling probably more true things, but not where Mark ended the gospel. Have you ever noticed that before? Take your Bibles home and read through Mark all the way through into chapter 16 and through the end. The women, as Mark tells it, had not seen Jesus. They had not touched him and felt him. And what they did is left with the word of the angel, and they trembled. They might have worried about the future. What will happen? What about our Savior? Where is he? The angel said that he's risen, but we have not seen. We have not touched. We have not felt. So how can we be sure? We sometimes in our lives wonder too. We've not seen, we've not touched, we don't know the physical evidence. So what does it mean for us and our future? And can we always depend on him? Do we know that he is risen? What does it mean for us? And why are our lives different because he is raised from the dead? Mark ends in the way that we live our lives, without physical evidence. But what Mark said was that there are witnesses. God has left himself without a witness, so those women leaving the tomb need not be afraid, neither we should be afraid. We don't need to be afraid and worried, because our risen Lord and Savior is always with us. And we know it because we have his word on it. That's why it's important that you read the Gospel of Mark and the rest of the New Testament and the rest of the Old Testament. We have his word on it, and it makes all the difference in the world. You see, we need not be afraid, because when Jesus says something, his word always comes true. The Gospel of Mark shows that in great detail. It was the witness of the gospel and many of Jesus' promises. It was the witness of the men in the tomb as they spoke to the women coming to know that it really was true, and that they and we too need not fear. Because Jesus says it, we can count on it, we can believe it. And then we can have confidence and hope and peace. The Gospel of Mark is filled with examples. If you've been with us during this Lenten season, you've heard some of these promises over the course of the midweek services. From Mark, do you remember about a week ago when Jesus was going into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, he told his disciples, two of them, go into the city. And when you go into the city, you'll find a colt there, a donkey that's never been ridden before. Bring it back to me. And if anyone says to you, why are you taking it? Tell him the Lord needs it and he'll return it soon. And just exactly as Jesus had promised, that's what happened. They could believe Jesus' word because it came true. Mark also reminds us, and we talked about it in the Lenten season, that there would be a man carrying a water jar. Remember that story? Jesus said, I want you to prepare the Passover for me. What you should do is go into the city and you'll see this man carrying the water jar. We mentioned that's the unusual thing because it was women that carried the water jars, women that went to do those daily tasks. But here it was a man. When you go into the city, you'll see this man carrying the water jar. And when you see him carrying the jar, follow him into the house where he goes and ask the owner if he has a room prepared for the Passover. They went, they saw the man, they followed him, they went into the house, and sure enough, just as Jesus had promised, it was so. We need not fear, because when Jesus says it, it will come true. In John or Mark chapter 10, Jesus had said, I will be betrayed and handed over to sinful men. And there they will mock me, and there I will be falsely accused. And sure enough, during that week after Palm Sunday, that's exactly what happened. Mark tells us that. Jesus said it, and it happened, so we can count on his word. Remember how Jesus had said in Mark also, the time will come when my disciples, my followers, they will flee from me. That's what happened at the garden. He went with his disciples late that evening on Maundy Thursday, and they fell asleep, and he prayed, and they fell asleep, and he prayed. And finally the betrayer came, Judas. And when Judas came, what Jesus had said would happen, happened. You know, when Jesus says something, you can count on it. Mark tells us also that Jesus would be handed over to ungodly men, to godless men, and that they would mock him and persecute him and spit on him, in every way defaming him, in every way humiliating him. And that's exactly what we find out did take place. And finally, Jesus said that on the time would come when he was then crucified. And remember, 3 days later, he would rise again. You know, when Jesus says it, we can count on it. We can believe it, and we can live in that confidence and peace. Jesus said it, and we believe it. Jesus said that after 3 days, he would rise again. We read that in what we read in the New Testament. Peter spoke. As Peter was recorded in Acts and in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Peter said, as did the other 12, that Jesus was raised again from the dead, and he left a witness that we can believe. Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Tonight in Mark chapter 16, the angel was there. The teaching of the church throughout all the ages is that Jesus is alive. The young man, that angel, he spoke the word, and that's the only word we have. That's the word that we trust. That's Jesus' word, and we can count on it. Though we do not see, though we do not touch, though we can't see the physical evidence, we believe. We have Jesus' word on it. And the man in the tomb reminded the women, as we are reminded too. And for that reason, we say, he is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. He is risen, just as he said. That's the only word we have. It's the only word we need. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ, your resurrected Savior. Amen.